Can you please tell me your name, date, and location we are in?
My name is Barbara H. Dunn. That's my legal name, Barbara Hearn Dunn. Hearn is my maiden name. So, and the today's date is 8/26/21. And
location.
And the location. Oh, we're at 1010 Homer Johnson Lane in Garland, Texas.
Awesome. Can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
Oh, I think I can. I mean, I have so many happy memories. I mean, I have 5 children, 16 grandchildren, and 34 great-grandchildren. How in the world can I choose from all of those? So I will choose the day that David asked me to marry him, because that brought about all these other children. That was one of very happy memory that I don't have a problem with.
Awesome.
Okay. Now that's it. My very happiest memories, I guess I would say, was that.
Can you tell me one of your most difficult memories?
Yes. I think very recently, I'll elaborate just a little bit. David, whom I married, who and I have been married for 66 years plus. A few years ago, about 6 years ago, he started developing Alzheimer's. And so I've been taking care of him, you know, mostly alone, because we're living here alone now. All our children are grown and gone. And it's been difficult, but it's what I absolutely want to do. I did not want to put him in any place where he was not at home with me. And I did everything I could that I know of. I'm sure there were other things I could have done better, but my intention was to keep him at home, take good care of him, and keep him alive and well and useful as long as I could. But the Alzheimer's got so difficult with him that he couldn't reason anymore. And he would do things that were extremely dangerous, such as climbing an 8-foot ladder to go up to the roof, things like that. He was out in the street at night in complete darkness, blowing leaves with cars going by, and he would not come in. I could not get him to come in. Couldn't reason. He just couldn't reason. So to cut to the chase, both of his doctors and all of our children said, "Mother, you just need to put him somewhere where he'll be safe, because we can't keep him safe anymore." So the day that I had to take him to the memory center and leave him there alone was the hardest. What was the question? The hardest memory?
The most difficult
the
memory.
It was the most difficult thing I've ever done. I walked around all the next day crying, "I'm sorry, David, yeah. I'm sorry, David."
I can't imagine.
No, that was.
I can't imagine.
And I don't regret it, because it's obvious that that's where he has to be. Anyway, that was very, very, very difficult.
Wow. Can you tell me about someone you will always remember?
Okay, well, that too is a list as long as both my arms and legs put together, people that I remember. I'm going to tell you a memory I have of you. I was not living here in Texas when you were born.
You were living in Ohio?
Yes, I was living in Ohio. But it came down to visit, and I went to see your mother and dad and you when you were first born. Well, no, I mean, you were probably under 2 anyway. That's the first time I'd gotten to see you. And so I was just so absolutely tickled to get to see my grandson, my great-grandson, my first great-grandson. And we went down to the pool. You had a swimming pool at this apartment where you all were living. And I was helping you play in the water or something like that. And that was just a great joy for me to have my first great-grandson and get to be with him. And I still love him.
That's awesome. Thank you. What do you feel most grateful for in your life?
No question in my life at all. When I was 12 years old, we had been, I was living in South Houston and going to school, and my grandfather, my mother's father, was getting quite old, and he was bedridden. He could be gotten up into a wheelchair, but he had to be helped out of the bed into the wheelchair. He didn't walk anymore alone. And the person taking care of him was my mother's sister, who was partial invalid. She had only one leg. Her other leg, the foot grew right up next to the coccyx. And so I just had a scam call, okay. So she walked on crutches since the day she could walk, since she was a baby, and she was already getting to be close to 70 years old and trying to take care of my grandfather, Papa, her dad. But he had gotten so difficult, she couldn't take care of him alone. So I was living, my family were living in South Texas, and the only children still at home were my sister, Charlene, who is 2 years older than I, and my younger sister, Linda, who's 4 years younger. Well, Linda was too young to go help Poochie. Poochie was my aunt's name. That's what we called her anyway. And Charlene was needed at home to do a number of things that I was not quite old enough to do. So I was sent to live with Pawpaw and Poochie for the whole eighth grade. I lived with them in Dawson, Texas.
Wow.
And I took care of my grandfather that whole year. I got him out of bed. I put him in the wheelchair. I took him in the kitchen. I cooked his breakfast and everything, and got him back in bed. I relieved Poochie because she couldn't do those things anymore. And living with them was fun. But the main thing is, the thing I'm most grateful for. My family had been living out in the country, and we didn't have transportation. And so we hadn't been going to church for a long, long time. And when I went up to live with Papa and Poochie, the very first thing Poochie did was take me to church. And I went to church, and Papa had been an elder in the church when he was able to be. And they all went both all the time. And so when I started going to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, and I was reading the Bible and studying the Bible and hearing the preaching and being with the other people there, the Christians, and I started studying a book about being a Christian. And it really convinced me absolutely that I needed to be baptized and become a follower of Jesus. And that's what I did. And that's the best thing in this whole world that ever happened to me, because I've been one ever since then.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
What is your favorite memory of me?
Oh, I thought I just did that.
Then tell me, what is someone you will always remember?
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't do that one, did I? What? We missed that one. Oh, well.
That was totally fine, yeah.
I'm sorry, you can erase that part if you want. But
no,
anyway.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Someone I'll always remember, there's just so many. Let me just think just a little bit more. Always remember. There's so many reasons to always remember people. I won't say somebody in my family, because I'm obviously going to remember all of the people in my family. Someone who had a good influence on me. I'm just going to say somebody kind of no one would think about. It was what grade was that? Probably sixth grade teacher in school. And Mr. McCain was his name. And he was such a good teacher, but he was a kind person. He was a disciplinarian in class, but a good one, the good kind that was didn't do it because he liked it.
Yeah.
In other words, and he would always help us out if we were having trouble with a question or something or that was going on in class. And he was always very kind. If you needed any kind of help, he would help you. I just remember thinking, because I hadn't been around a lot of men who had great character that I would be really impressed with and think, what a good man that is. And he was a good man. And so, I mean, his memory, I can see him. And that was 75 years ago, and a little bit more, maybe 73 years ago. And so I'll just say Mr. McCain is one person that I will never forget. I will always remember how much he impressed me and how he helped me learn love school. Okay.
Wow, don't we just love our teachers like that?
Yes.
Teachers are amazing. Yeah. What are you most proud of in your life?
I'm proud of I can really say this honestly. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, he said, I'm proud of only one thing. I can boast about only one thing, that Jesus died for me. That is, that I really have nothing else to brag on. I know that I have wanted all my life to be a good example of a follower of Jesus. But I'm not proud of it, because I was given those opportunities. But the main thing is that there is only one thing I can just brag about. And that is, as bad as I am sometimes, Jesus took care of all that for me. His grace continues to wash my sins away.
Wow. And that's what you're most proud of?
That's what I'm most proud of, that I have Jesus in my life, in my heart.
So true. So true. Do you have any regrets?
Yeah, I've done some things, you know, that I wish I hadn't. I even say things once in a while, I want to cut my tongue out, you know. And I'm not proud of those things. but, you know, I know, well, tell you what, none of us is perfect.
And, that's very
you know,
true.
Sometimes I think, boy, I just don't like to make mistakes. You know, I feel like a failure when I make mistakes. But then I realize, that's right, I am a failure. And it took Jesus to make me perfect enough to be in heaven. But regrets are things that, I might regret spanking my child too hard or something at younger. I regret any time that I was sharp in response to someone and not have given them the grace that I'm given. It's mostly actions like that that I know better, and I do it anyway. I'm so glad, though, that I know what prayer is and asking for forgiveness, and that Jesus does every time. But, yeah, those mistakes, I mean, they're more than mistakes, they're sins. I regret sinning when I, you know better.
Mm-hmm.
And you do it anyway sometimes because we're selfish and we're proud, arrogant, and we think we know best and all those things. Those are the things that make me have regrets. Yeah.
Don't we all regret?
Well, we all do, like yes. That. And that's definitely me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely I. That's better grammar.
How would you like to be remembered?
Oh, as just what I was saying, someone who loved the Lord and could be a good example for anyone else to come and love the Lord. That scares me that I might be something, show something in my life that would hinder someone else from being a Christian. That's I want to be remembered as someone who was not a hypocrite, who tried to be what I claimed to be.
Wow.
I was a golfer. I don't need to be remembered as a golfer. I had great fun at it, and I was a good golfer, but that's not what I want to be remembered for. I want to be remembered for being the Christian, being a good grandmother, being a good great-grandmother, those things that are mine now, and taking care of David, my husband, as long as I could and still can.
Well, I'm sure you'll always be remembered as a good grandmother, great-grandmother, and a wife. I think you will always be remembered as that.
I hope so. That's what I hope.
What are your hopes for me?
For you. Oh, I have hopes and prayers for you, Jace. I have expectations, and they're not empty hopes like, oh, you'll never grow up to be this. It's not that. I see good in you. I really do see good, kindness. Once in a while I see you get a little short with your little brothers and sisters, but
yeah.
I understand that. Just like and I know that's not what you want to be remembered as, get out of here and don't come by me. No, you don't want to, but you don't do that. I want you more than anything in this world to be a follower of Jesus, and everything else will fall in place if you do that. If you give your life to Him, He will take care of you. And that's what I want for you more than anything.
Those are great hopes. I hope I can live those out as best I can.
You need, and what I tell everybody is, we can't get close to Jesus without getting close to His Word. We have to read and study and learn who He is before we can get close to Him, really.
Yes, ma'am.
And then the closer you are, the more you don't want to hurt Him.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what I really pray for you, Jace, and I love you so much.
Well, thank you. If this was our last conversation, is there anything you'd want to say to me?
Well, that was pretty close to what it was right there. What I hope for you is pretty clear for our last conversation. I might add, whatever comes in this life, you know, things are changing. And the United States, your culture, is changing exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
From when, for instance, I was a child, 70 years ago when I was a child. But even when my children, your grandparents, your great-grandparents were living, it wasn't as difficult as it is now. It's continuing. Satan's doing his work. And he plants these seeds in our lives to drag us away from God and toward Him. It's happening in this country right now, it's happening all over the world, and it looks like he's winning the battle, but I know he's not. He can't he can with some people, but I don't want you to be one of those people that lets him take your faith away, and that's what's happening a lot. There, social media, I don't want you to spend your life on social media, because I know what happens to a lot of people that would be innocent, but with all of that that's being said and done on there, Satan's working to convince you that God is not real. That is the biggest lie that in this world right now, that God is not real. And I'm gonna tell you how come I know. Two things, and there are a lot more than two things. One is, where did you come from? Can you answer that?
How
did you get here? How did anything get here? That or that or that or that? There are things.
By God's creation.
How did He do that?
He's God. He can do anything that He wants to do.
Well, in a way, I can do anything I want to do here. There's one thing He can do that I can't, a lot of things, but He took absolutely nothing and made something. Okay, can you take nothing? Say, here, t- take this and make a house out of it. You can't, can you?
No.
Okay. Can you do this, Jace? You can't do it, so I'm going to ask you to try. Think really hard to make something that has no components of anything you know about. Completely out of nothing. See, air is something. Make something out of absolutely nothing.
It's impossible.
It is impossible. And that, as you said before, God can do anything. He's the only one. It had to start somewhere with someone who could make something out of nothing. So, because everything we see has got form. Okay, so that's my first reason for believing. And see, there all this stuff in the world and that you get on social media and TV and everything is doing its best, Satan is, to convince you that God isn't real, and then you can do anything you want. We all need this solid foundation of faith in something. But if you have no faith, you can do anything you want. The other thing is, there's no question, all scholars agree that the Old Testament was written hundreds and thousands of years before the New Testament. The Law of Moses, way, way, way older. And yet, there are over 300 scriptures in the Old Testament that are reproduced in the New Testament in exactitude. Even the fact that Jesus would be crucified between two thieves, that he would pray for their forgiveness. There's so many, that he would be put in the grave with thieves, with criminals. Just all those, that's just a few, that he would heal the deaf, the dumb, and the lame, and all those, all that was predicted. You can read it in scripture. I've got a little book right over there that has hundreds of scriptures that do that. Tell me something that's going to happen next week exactly.
I can't see that.
No one can. If that has to be inspiration coming from God, so that we in this generation would know he's God, because he's the only one can do that. And so whatever little things that they try to tell you, well, God wouldn't, if I were God, I wouldn't let babies die or get killed. Well, God is God, and he knows, because he is God, he knows what's happening here and what's going to happen down there, that far away. And he has all of that, and the fact that he loves us and doesn't want anyone to perish. So he does what is the best, and we can't just let all those little tempting things that Satan tries to tell us take us away if we know that we believe in Jesus and have reasons, not guesswork, true reasons for believing in God. That's what I want you to remember.
Wow. So to end, I would like to tell you what you've meant to me. You've been one of the most amazing people that I've ever known in my life. You've accomplished so much over your life, from being a golfer to being a wife, a grandmother, a great-grandmother. And you've always been supportive of me. You've always just liked to talk to me. Yeah. You've always encouraged me. And I've always loved to listen to your stories, your faith. It's just been inspirational to me. And so you've just been one of the most amazing people I've ever met.
Oh, honey, I can't tell you how that touches me. Thank you. That's why I say I want to be something to my grandchildren, and you are very special.
Thank you. I love you, Grandma.
I love you too, sweetheart.